Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Jesus knows what's going to happen a week later, doesn't he? He knows the suffering that's going to happen on Friday. He knows what's going to happen. He knows what's going to happen, and yet he receives the welcome. And we're going to read this scripture here, and it's from Mark 11, 1 through 11. And let's stand for the reading of the word. Mark 11, 1 through 11. As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethany on the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two of his disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and just as you enter it, you will find a colt there tied, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you why you're doing this, say, 'The Lord needs it, and will send it back here shortly.'" They went and found a colt outside in the street, tied at the doorway. As they untied it, some of the people standing asked, "Why are you doing this, untying that colt?" They answered as Jesus had told them to, and the people let them go. When they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their cloaks over it, he sat on it. Many people spread their cloaks on the road, while others spread branches they had cut in the fields. Those who went ahead of those who followed shouted, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. Hosanna in the highest heaven." Jesus entered Jerusalem and went into the temple courts. He looked around at everything, but since it was already late, he went out to Bethany with the 12. Please be seated. So how do you celebrate in the midst of knowing the morning that is coming? How do you find joy? You know, it's interesting. I was with my friend, Matthew. He's a Jewish friend. And his wedding was set. I went over 1 week before 9/11. And we were doing all the preparations for the wedding. And then 9/11 hit, and we had his wedding was scheduled for 2 weeks after 9/11. And one of the things that hit me was the Jewish people know how to celebrate in the midst of the storm.
Woo!
They do. They know how to celebrate when things look bleak because they've spent a lifetime. They've spent many lifetimes doing just that. And guys, I got to be honest with you. With all the news from this week, my heart is heavy. And I can't get up here and pretend that everything's fine. It's not. It's not. And yet we have a God who's worth rejoicing over. We have a God who knows what it's like to suffer. We have a God who knows what it's like not only to celebrate before the suffering, but to celebrate through it, during it, and afterwards. Now, there is a time to mourn. There is a time, and we know that that's appropriate. But in our mourning, we don't have to be broken. In our discouragement, we don't have to be undone. You know, the joy is that with the Lord, we have a rudder in the midst of the storm. We have a way to bring direction in the midst of chaos. And I just want to encourage all of you, as we look at this story, that's very, very familiar with us. And I find it interesting in the beginning of the scripture where it says, as they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives, Jesus knows what's coming. He knows that he has to fulfill scripture. And so he says, you know what? I need to have Zechariah 9:9 fulfilled. Zechariah 9:9 says, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout aloud, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. Righteous and having salvation is he, humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." So Jesus is fulfilling this scripture from Zechariah. And he's saying, you know what, guys? Go and get this donkey, this colt, and bring it. It hasn't been ridden. Bring it. I need this scripture to be fulfilled. And if anybody asks, let them know. Let them know what it's for. Let them know it'll be returned. And they do. And as they go, and there's a couple things here. In fulfilling this scripture from Zechariah, Jesus is accomplishing a couple of things. Number one, he's declaring himself to be Israel's king and Messiah. He's saying, I am the King of Kings. I am Israel's Messiah. I'm the one you've been waiting for. It's a bold statement, guys. To say that, if it's not true, is punishable by what? Death. And he's making a very bold statement. He's deliberately challenging the religious leaders by saying this and putting this statement out there. The religious leaders, they know that they need to deal with this. He's either who he says he is and they receive him, or he's not and they take him out. And if he is who he says he is, guess what that affects? That affects everything. It also affects who's in charge. And leaders are interesting. Leaders, you can be in leadership. I think of many of the countries that have dictators, and a new leader comes in and takes out a dictator. And then over time, that leader can become a dictator themselves because they're unwilling to let go of the power and the authority. And by Jesus stating this, he is saying, you know what? Things are going to change. And directly following this time, I'll say some things at the end of what he also says to challenge that. But there's a trial that's being set and put into motion. Jesus knows that Friday is coming. And guys, I want to encourage you guys, be here this Friday at 6:30. We're having a Good Friday service. And it's a quieter time. It's a time to reflect, and it's a time to be still before the Lord and to remember what he did for us. But boy, I tell you, as Jesus is preparing for this time, he knows what's coming. And yet his heart is full because this is why he came, because he loves us. Verse 4, they went out and found a colt. They did all that through verse 8. And then in verse 9, it says, those who went ahead and those who followed shouted, Hosanna. Excuse me, I'm going to go to verse 7. When they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their cloaks over it, he sat on it. And many of the people spread their cloaks on the ground while others spread the branches they had cut in the fields. These palm branches are the branches, represent the branches that were cut. And they're spread on the field. And what is the significance of this? They're laying it down. It's kind of like the red carpet for those who are famous, who are coming to the Oscars, right? And the red carpet is rolled out because this is a special occasion. The regular stuff won't do. And so the red carpet is being rolled out for Jesus. But it's palm branches and cloaks. And it's being spread out because he's coming. And think about what this means for the people. They've been waiting for the Messiah. What are the people waiting for? Who's in charge over the people of Israel right now? Who are the leaders, the authorities, the political leaders of the day? The who? The Romans. The Romans. All roads lead to Rome. All this stuff had been set up. All these things had been done to prepare for the gospel going out. You see, God is working throughout history, and it's come to a place now where the Messiah is coming. And he's here now. And if the people are thinking this is truly him, think of the rejoicing, and they're thinking, we're going to be delivered from who? Rome. We're going to be the top dogs now. You wait and see. We're going to be the ones in charge. We get to be the ones on top who get to say what's right and wrong. We get to be here and have you under us. And so the people of the day are thinking, physically and politically, they're thinking of what Jesus is coming for. Look at Guys, something that they needed to learn, that we need to learn and relearn and relearn, is God's agenda is different than our agenda. God's way of doing things is different because his agenda is so different. What is most important is the eternal, not the physical, not the political. Guys, we're living right now in a time of chaos. There's a lot of questions people have. There's a lot of things going on. Those who went ahead of him and those who followed shouted, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. Hosanna in the highest." Hosanna in the highest heaven. Jesus entered Jerusalem and went into the temple courts, and he looked around at everything. But since it was already late, he went out to Bethany with the 12. And you know what happens as Jesus comes into the temple? We're not going to go too much over it. We're not going to read about it. But he comes in the temple. What does he find happening in the temple? What's that? The money changers. And Jesus does something there to make sure that Friday comes. Because if you say, "I'm coming, and blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord," and the people are coming and they're excited and they're ready, something has to tip the scale to make sure that the religious leaders of the day say, "We need to get rid of this guy." And he comes in and he starts tipping over the tables, throwing over the tables. And he cleanses the temple and he affects the pocketbooks of the religious leaders of the day. And because of that, It ensures that the religious leaders say, "He needs to go. We have to kill him. We have to kill him." So what do we do? What do we do with that knowledge? What do we do with that? Can we go to the next slide? Jeremiah 1:5 says, "Before I formed you in the womb, I what? I knew you." Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. You see, God has a plan not only for his life and how he's going to save us. And so he's coming in for a purpose. But he's given us a purpose. And I want to encourage you, during this time, know that God knows you. And he's known you before you were formed in your mother's womb. He has a plan for your life. Ephesians 2:10 says, "For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." Think about that, guys. We're God's handiwork. You see, when Christ came and he came and he entered and it was all part of the plan. It wasn't plan B. Guys, do you hear that? Jesus coming to save us wasn't because, "Oops, Adam blew it. Now what do we do?" See, God knew from the very beginning, before Adam and Eve. Before Adam and Eve were created, God's outside of time. He's the creator of what? Of time. And before it all, he knew what was going on. Before it all. And he's given us a plan. He's given us a purpose. Guys, we are God's handiwork, created for good works. What good works are you created for? As what good works have you been created for? Here's some other good news on this. The good works, you don't have to do it in your own strength. You see, even Jesus Christ himself, when he's coming and he's preparing for what he's got to do, he's not my will, but what? yours be done. You see, there's a time that in this week as we prepare for Good Friday and then Easter, there's a time where we have to say in our hearts, God, not my will. As there's so many right now in our church family that we're experiencing times that you cannot prepare for. Amen. And yet God is enough. And God goes with us, and he's prepared good works in advance for us to do. And that means that we can have victory in him. And if we can go to the next slide. Continuing on in Jeremiah 1. Alas, sovereign Lord, I said, I do not know how to speak. I am too young. But the Lord said to me, do not say I am too young. You must go to everyone I send to you. Send you to and say, whatever I command you, do not be afraid of them. For I am with you and I will rescue you, declares the Lord. For I am with you and I will rescue you. Guys, the good news is we have a Lord who rescues us for eternity. All of us will experience passing away in this life. Barring the Lord's return. But all of us will experience that. But we can know that, boy, for eternity, God will rescue us. And that's by faith through grace. By grace through faith, excuse me. By grace through faith. By grace through faith. God is so gracious that he provides a way. So I want to ask you this. With this story of that we've heard so many times before, this story of Jesus coming, of him as he's coming, the people setting the branches, and blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Do you know how easy it is to follow the crowd? It is so easy to follow the crowd and everyone's excited, but what do we do? I want to ask you, what do? When the noise stops and the crowd fades? What do on Monday rather than Sunday? We're here encouraging one another, aren't we? We're here hearing from the Word of God, having our hearts filled. But guys, if this is all we have, it's not enough. We need to be in the Word. We need to be in prayer. And we need him desperately. We need him desperately. Back to verse 10 of Mark 11. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. You see, plans have been in the works for a while, haven't they? And not only have plans been since before the womb, since before time began, but God's even given some of the understanding of those plans to his people. And that says, Hosanna in the highest heaven. Jesus entered Jerusalem and went to the temple courts. Where does Jesus go as soon as he comes in? The temple. We talked about him cleansing the temple, but he goes there for a reason. He goes there for a reason. He goes there to be with who? Why does Jesus go to the temple? To worship the Lord. To worship God, to be with the people and worship God. It is so important that we understand that we are called to come together. To worship God. We are not called to go through this alone. And one of the things that happens consistently, or often with people, I should say, is when the storms come, when the challenges come, people will cave. It gets so hard that, you know what? I'm going to go off here. There's a time to be alone with the Lord in prayer. And those are important. But as Jesus comes in, he goes to the temple, and as he's coming for a purpose. Guys, we need each other. God did not create us to be without each other. The Lord gave us each other so that we can fully experience His goodness. His goodness. Yeah. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. I want to ask you guys, where do you stand? Where do you stand with the Lord? And know that if you're one of His children, that as you come together. We come with each other. Guys, it's so important that we band together during these times. I want to encourage you. Brian and Robin, love to see you guys. I want you to know at the beginning of the service, we prayed for a few people, and one of the people that we prayed for were, some of the people that we prayed for were you guys, your family, as you remembered your father yesterday. Amen. We love you guys. Yeah. Amen. And we stand together, don't we? We stand together. There is good news. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. So I want to finish with this thought. And that's as the slogans are given, as the chants come out, as the people are saying, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, and they're remembering the promises from that were given during the time of David and reminded of us during that time. And as the people were expecting this political leader to come in and change things and make it all okay at that time, remember this. When Jesus comes, he comes according to his will. Not according to ours. When he comes for his purpose, not ours. And we need to take our agenda and put it in to his. And when the people were looking for that political leader to come on in and change it all, man, think of how quickly things changed and what we'll be celebrating this Friday. What we'll be remembering this Friday. The morning. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, gone to crucify him. Same people. A lot of the same people. A different thing being said, isn't it? Why does the message change? Because the people were wanting what? God to do what they had planned for him to do. God to go according to their will. God has his purpose and his reason for doing things. And we can rest in that. And Jesus rides on a donkey in triumph into the capital. And into the temple that would soon be weeping over him. Guys, one of my greatest concerns is that we get used to the story. You know, these messages that we go to the familiar scriptures, honestly, are harder messages to give. Because you're all so familiar with the story. But in that familiarity, don't let the joy and the passion of the moment pass us by. Amen. This is why Jesus came. This is year 33 of his life. And he's come. He spent these 33 years preparing for this time. And what happens in the week that we're about to experience is after this time of celebration, There's a time of questions, there's a time of concerns, and a time of mourning. God doesn't change. Our understanding of what's going on changes. God doesn't change. And I wanna encourage you, know this. God doesn't change, even if your circumstances are out of control, out of your hands. You can pray to a God who is in authority over this circumstance, who gives you life and victory in the midst of the storm. It doesn't mean that there's not a time for mourning, a time for weeping. That's part of what we need to go through. But know this, man, God is in control, and that God is good. What is it that's on your heart today? What is it? I gotta be honest with you, there's a lot of things on my heart today. There's a lot of sadness on my heart today. And yet, God is in control and God is good. And he gave us relationship with him and he gave us relationship with each other. And I want to encourage us as a family, let's reach out to those who are in need. Let's come alongside our brothers and sisters and love hard on them. Just, man, take them in. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, you are holy. You are good. You are powerful. Father, we come before you now, and there's so much going on in the big picture and what's happening in our country and in our world. There's so much going on. The political process, the situation around the world with are we even safe, and all the hate, all the junk. And Lord, in our own lives, so many people hurting and struggling, people we love. Lord, it's easy to get lost. And yet in you, we not only find wholeness, Lord, we find joy and peace, and a peace which surpasses all understanding. We find our hope in you, because the story doesn't end with you riding in and blessed is he, and there's so much work to be done, so much more to the story that takes place. Father, thank you that you are God. Thank you that you walk with us through the times of joy. And you walk with us through those times that are difficult. And Lord, most of all, I think I'm thankful that we pray and we worship, pray to and worship a God who knows what it's like to suffer. Lord, thank you so much that you don't just kind of receive our prayers during those times without intimate knowledge of what it means to suffer. But Lord, because you were sinless, and yet you went through so much, your suffering was even greater. Lord, we celebrate today the time where the masses receive you. But Lord, we know that this Friday represents that time where they turned. Father, we desire to not have hearts that come and go and are close to you and then far from you. Lord, we want to be intimate with you. And you've provided a way for that to take place. And we are grateful. So Lord, be with us now, Lord. Be with us. Be with us as a family. Lord, be with Scott and Cindy right now, with Stephen and Maria. Lord, be with them in a special way. Lord, be with Brian and Robin. Give them your strength. Lord, be with Chet and Kathy as they've gone down, as things are winding down with Father. Lord, be with us. Lord, there are so many people here who are hurting, who are struggling, who have physical needs. We've got a few with cancer in here, Lord. We pray for your healing. We pray, Lord, that you would bring your supernatural power, Lord, and you would bring healing. Lord, we ask it. We know it's called a miracle for a reason, because it doesn't happen all the time, but we would ask it, Lord. We would ask that you would heal. Heal those with cancer. Heal those with other ailments, Lord. You are a victorious God, and we need you dearly. Lord, thank you for your love. Thank you for your grace. Thank you, Lord, that you are with us in the storm, that we can find rest in you. Be with us, Lord. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Guys, we're doing something a little different right now, and that's after the service, Jamin, Jessica? There you go. Thank you. Hey, come on up, guys. We've got a ministry moment here.
Go ahead.
Yeah.
Do we have the picture?